Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth. The rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Born in the 1940s, We Remember, with myself and my co-host, Jim Fetzer. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, Maria. You know, more and more, I long for the old days when you could actually believe in your government, when the newspapers published the truth, when you weren't constantly barraged with propaganda from every direction. The world we live in today is, as Paul Craig Roberts put it, a false reality of constructed events. It's unbelievable.
I totally agree. I don't think that we've had one month in between the two of us where there isn't another constructed event for us to talk about on the next show.
I know.
I mean, it's hard to even keep up. You know,
this Orlando thing is particularly egregious. And it looks more and more like Sandy Hook, where I'm finding the same patterns repeated over and over again. There, Boston, in San Bernardino, now in Orlando, no surge of EMTs to rush the wounded or off to hospitals where they can be pronounced dead or alive. No string of ambulances. I mean, it's just ridiculous, Maria. They don't have anything going for them in terms of evidence where, just to cite Paul Craig Roberts once again, he's published several articles about Orlando, and he counts himself a skeptic because he's seen no proof that anyone actually died, and then we're treated to the fantasy that this guy was supposed to be calling 911, even on his Facebook page, calling to a local TV station while he's shooting all these people. It's ridiculous as it gets.
Well, you know, it reminds me of that shooting they had at that nightclub in Paris. I'm sure you remember that.
Yes.
Where one of the performers, who was a member of the band, said when he walked into the nightclub, he could see it was already set up for the event and that it was a staged event. And then they put a gag order on him like they did on the cops in Orlando.
So, yeah, these gag orders are becoming very popular. Those who were involved at the Orlando Regional Medical Center have apparently had a gag order put on them, just like those involved in the destruction of the Sandy Hook Elementary School, so they couldn't report on what they saw or did not see, which would have included no blood on the floors, no pockmarks in the walls from being struck by bullets. It's embarrassing.
It's just insanity at its worst, and I've tried to figure out why. And the best conclusion I could come up with these attacks on young people, you know, places young people congregate, is young people, especially millennials, you know, they see the difference in the world, but they're not into the fear that everybody else is. And I think they want to make them feel also the same amount of fear and feeling unsafe wherever they are.
Well, it's truly ridiculous. It turns out this club, this Pulse Club in Orlando, didn't even have a license or a registration, which expired in 2013. And when you look at photographs, just like Sandy Hook, there's none of that familiar blue and white painted parking areas, painted signage for handicap. I now believe that diagrams we've been given of the club, which purport to show handicap bathrooms, are fake, and that were designed to try to lure us into the false impression the club was actually operating. I think this club was not functioning any more than Sandy Hook Elementary School was functioning, where that school having closed by 2008, it was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards. It had suffered from hurricane damage. And if they were going to upgrade, they were going to have to make a wheelchair handicap accessible at great expense. So they just abandoned it, Maria. It looks to me like this Pulse nightclub was defunct. The police say it only had an authorized occupancy of 150, and they claim to have had 300, but it's about the size of a postage stamp.
Right. Well, the whole thing stinks to high heaven, as usual. And the problem that I find is with these staged events, I still don't doubt that people are killed at them. Believe me, I don't. But when you look at that stabbing melee that went on this week between the skinheads and the neo-Nazis, immediately everybody said this has to be a staged event. But, you know, I did watch a lot of those videos, and trust me, there was some serious beatdowns going on during that wild event. But we can't really trust anything anymore. You know, back in the 60s, there was a song that said, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. But today, with the kind of technology they have, we can't even believe half of what we see.
Well, I'm doubtful that anybody died in Orlando. We have these stories from doctors about being called in, you know, that it was an urgent matter, so they had to rush in and take care of traveling past the Pulse nightclub. This one doctor, his name is Michael Cheatham. Let me read you this, Brand, to explain why it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, it was bad when he heard the tone in Dr. Chadwick Smith's voice on the other end of the line. The conversation took less than 10 seconds. I have 20 gunshot victims, Smith said. I need you. Dr. Michael Chatham hung up, jumped into his car, and raced to the Orlando Regional Medical Center, where he'd worked for two decades. His mind raced to 20. He was minutes away from the hospital when he saw a sea of flashing blue lights outside the Pulse nightclub. He'd driven by Pulse hundreds of times on his way to work. He'd never seen that many emergency vehicles in one place. It was just after 2 a.m. Sunday. But you know, Maria, we have all these other reports that from Napolitano, that the FBI report says nobody died until 5:13 when the SWAT team entered, which raises all kinds of questions on its own. And then they had this program. It must have lasted about an hour with physicians on television and some of the victims talking. And I thought to myself, gee, either some of the individuals actually were killed, or they've upgraded their class of crisis actors, and it looks like it's the latter. One of these guys is Dr. Matt Lube, no doubt, because he's given us a Lube job. No reviews, 10 years as a doctor, not one review from a patient. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of reminds you of that doctor at Sandy Hook. Remember the guy that was all laughing while he was talking about the kids?
Well, Wayne Carver, yeah. I made a video about him. It's entitled Sandy Hook, starring Wayne Carver as the medical examiner. Mm-hmm. Because we know he was there when they were setting it up. He was there the night before, Maria, in Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, Chapter 8. We have 50 photographs of them refurbishing the school. And in Exhibit 26. We have a photograph where the SWAT team is already there. Just above the front of the roof of the vehicle, you can see the string of four windows in classroom 10. They're undamaged. After the shooting, they'd be shot out. In particular, the second would have much tatter, and there would be bullet holes in the window frame. And you look up, and the flag is at full mast. You come down, there's Wayne Carver leaning against the wall with his arms folded, awaiting the arrival of his portable mortuary tent. There's crime scene tape up for an event that is yet to occur. And in addition, Maria, we have photos of the perps drilling the holes in the window frame and peak rods showing that they're all exactly parallel with one another and 90 degrees to the window frame. I mean, it's just as outrageous as it gets.
Well, at this rate, Jim, you can write a book every month. Oh my God. How's those golden years working out for you? I keep saying that. Where are my golden years? Where are my golden years? You know, listen, when we were kids, let's face it, the biggest false flag you and I were aware of, or staged event, was the murder of John Kennedy. And people fell for it then, even though the majority of people still alive today don't believe the official story anymore. We certainly don't believe the official story of 9/11. So at least we're accomplishing things, because it amazes me how fast social media responds with facts and figures when we have another staged event. And I, you know, this
It's become phenomenal.
I
The
know.
response to Orlando, I mean, hundreds, maybe thousands of responses, critiques proving that it's fabricated, that it's fake.
Well, I had read a great op-ed piece. I forget who had written it, but he said that Americans are just not falling for it anymore. We're not falling for the fear. We're not going into panic. And as you said, with so many other false flags, this is all about gun control. Well, Orlando surely proved that, because right away you saw, I'm sure, the Democrats and their sit-in for their gun laws right after that.
Oh, Barry, it was embarrassing. Yet these people who are supposedly grieving because they just lost a child or a friend, but they have the presence of mind to look into the camera and say, "We must abolish military-style assault weapons." I mean, it's ridiculous. One after another after another. They're saying, we don't know what actually happened. We don't know why, but we know one thing is clear. These military-style assault weapons have to be banned. It's just ridiculous.
Exactly. Well, it didn't look like their sit-in went anywhere, but that was a pretty fancy sit-in with catered food and bathroom breaks. I don't remember sit-ins like that in the 60s.
You're talking about the House of Representatives. That was bizarre. Where you actually had one member of the House, Louie Gohmert, said to the Democrats, "Islam killed these people." I mean, look how much the government has gone out of its way to suppress that this guy is supposed to be a Muslim, that he was shouting at Allah Akbar, that he made repeated phone calls to the police to declare his support for ISIS. And then you have no less than the director of the CIA, John Brennan, who, Maria, is himself a Muslim, claiming they found no links to ISIS, or that this was a terrorist attack. But what in God's name are we supposed to think it is if it wasn't a terrorist attack?
Well, you know, to me, it surely looked like a hate crime. You know, so it could be a
Well,
hate
it so turns
crime,
out
and it could be
that this.
domestic terrorism. I mean,
Yeah.
it could be everything, you know, all included. But I thought it was quite interesting, and I think I don't know if I mentioned it to you or not. But even when the story was breaking, I knew the bigger story was who was Omar Mateen's father, who seemed to have free access to Congress and the president.
Well, Maria, it's fascinating because Omar Mateen worked for a big agency called G4S, has some 610,000 employees. They provide security at many federal buildings. He had his weapons perfectly lawfully. He had two different types of license, one a concealed carry license, another because he was himself a security guard. And it appears that this whole thing was contracted for by DHS, the Chief Department of Homeland Security, DHS, to GS4, and that they in turn contracted to this British outfit called CrisisCast, who set the whole thing up. I mean, this appears to be yet another of these FEMA capstone events that embrace a large part of the community, bring in the crisis actors. In this case, it was really extraordinarily embarrassing because you had a number of supposed patrons carrying wounded, and they were carrying them toward the Pulse Club, which, of course, was the alleged scene of the crime, which would be ridiculous. When they got out of camera range, they put down the guy because he was too heavy. He was walking around perfectly fine. Some of them even show them carrying a mannequin as though it were a wounded person. This is very much like San Bernardino, where they used dummies. When you got the figures out of the car, which was all shot up, it turned out to have his hands already handcuffed behind the back, and when you did a close-up on the face, it was a very lifelike dummy. Believe it or not, Maria, I've discovered LifeTech, which is a company that provides mass casualty dummies, even has a photograph of the Boston bombing as a part of its advertisement for its product.
Crazy. It's just crazy. We're living in an we are living, truly, in an insane asylum. This morning I was reading in mainstream media that the FBI said they have no evidence whatsoever that Omar Mateen was gay. Now, how many people have come forth and said that, including one of his ex-lovers, including his ex-wife, who they happen to have misplaced?
Yeah, it's very curious they would be taking that tack, because if he's himself gay, it's not a hate crime. But maybe that's the point. They want to deny he's gay, claim he's straight, so that it is a hate crime. But we have some of these actors reporting they've seen him around. He frequently come to the club. He's trying to pick up men. They've seen him on their gay app, or even apps for these homosexual hookups, Maria.
I know. Well, there's apps for all kinds of hookups, that's for sure. Listen, I went to the movies the other night, and before the movie started, they showed an app. This will give you, it's a little off topic, but I was stunned. It's an app. I don't know what they call it. I think they call it Go to Pee. And you just type in the movie you're watching, and they'll tell you what parts of the movie it's okay to go to the bathroom, so you won't miss much.
Really?
I was stunned.
Really? You're going to miss anything important to the story.
Right. I said, look at this, a pee app. And it was spelled P-E-E, and I was stunned.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I found very interesting, you know how they run ads now in the movies. Most of the ads, I'd say 80%, were Army and Marine ads.
Yeah.
So I looked at that and I said, okay, I guess we're getting ready for the next war.
That's right. We're beefing up for something big.
Right. But you can get an app now to tell you when to go pee.
I know. Unbelievable. Listen, you know, after Sandy Hook, eventually when the FBI published its consolidated crime statistics for 2012, if you look up Newtown, for murder and non-negligent manslaughter, the number is zero. And that's, of course, consistent because there was nobody there for anyone to have killed. The school had been closed by 2008. And it turns out there's a very good crime website out there right now, Spot Crime, which has no record of the USA's biggest gun massacre in history for 12 June 2016. It doesn't report any deaths.
Hmm. What is that website? Do you know? Spot Crime what? Is it just one word?
Yeah, that's the title. It's Spot Crime, one word. S-P-O-T, capital C.
Okay. I'll look that one up. I don't want to miss a trick. But here you have a guy, I don't know if you got to see Omar Mateen, because that GS4... also has a division for crisis actors, and I've seen the video of Omar Mateen. It's like in a greenish tent showing him in a movie during the BP oil spill. So obviously this guy was an asset.
A whole host of these players had websites that they have professional acting credits, including Mateen, including the witness who allegedly held the door. What, to make sure the killer couldn't escape? I mean, this is just unreal. Their storyline is so stupid, including the medical examiner who was acting until it appears he agreed to cover the story, and then they made him permanent. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, and you also see, you know, there's always certain signs of a staged event, and one of them is a standout. And from what I understand, it took 3 hours for any kind of real response. I mean, why were they having these conversations with him, supposedly 11 phone calls, all this stuff? What were they waiting for? And then originally, the cops said that they were following protocol. But you look at it, and they may have shot some of the people themselves. And then you have Napolitano, who said people weren't shot until the SWAT team arrived. So, you know, when the story changes consistently, that's usually a big clue.
Yeah, well, I agree completely. Now, it turns out that there are very many similarities here. For example, in San Bernardino, we even have the Craigslist ad for extras. Good pay, transportation, food, some speaking roles, call date the first, actual participation December 2nd, just the way it went down, where you have a lot of people milling around because they have no idea what they're doing. I actually went through Sandy Hook and San Bernardino with a very highly qualified paramedic, and he explained all the violations of procedure had this been a real event in both instances, which was part of one of my Real Deal shows entitled Staging Attacks from Sandy Hook to San Bernardino. So anyone who wants to get the, you know, the details of how we know these are fake events, that's a great place to visit. And then, of course, the bodies were left in place in San Bernardino just as they were left in place in Sandy Hook. I mean, this is according to the official account. There were, I don't believe any bodies there either place anyway. But the fact is they're left in place, which is absurd. That means forensic evidence is allowed to decay or disappear. And, you know, who in the world would allow, for example, their child to be left in place overnight? The parents weren't even allowed to see them, but shown photographs on the ground that it was less painful that way. But no parent, I think, would ever allow some kind of ridiculous claim like that to interfere with seeing the body of their own child for themselves. I mean, it's ridiculous. In Orlando, they were supposed to have been left for as long as 24 hours, Maria. This is ludicrous.
Well, it's all you know, it's all insanity, but I have to say, I truly believe that they're not succeeding in their goal. You know, they're not changing the gun laws. People are not getting into a panic anymore. I think Americans are becoming almost numb to it, or their first reaction is, this is probably bullshit. Because I have to tell you, Jim, when that story broke, once I realized, which didn't take long, that it was another staged event, I didn't even want to look for any more details. It's like, okay, this is another staged event, and I move on. You know, because it's become so commonplace that I think it doesn't mean anything anymore. Whatever they're trying to accomplish, they're not accomplishing.
Here's a great angle on Orlando, completely original. I got a guy, his name is Scott Alexander, 24 years a police officer, 15 a detective. He has a background in music. He has an associate's degree in music fine arts, a bachelor's degree in music theory and composition education. He finished a graduate degree in music multimedia technology. He performs and records himself. He's played in symphonies, jazz ensembles, rock bands over the years. Well, he did an article for me, actually two parts, the Orlando False Flag Shooting, the musical, because he took a look at the songs that were coming out so fast about Orlando. For example, by Melissa Etheridge and by Christina Aguilera, where the lyrics fit the whole situation perfectly, and they were out like within 3 days, very well produced. And he's pointing out this is an impossibility to compound it even greater. They got together over 100 Broadway stars to sing a version for Orlando of What the World Needs Now. I mean, this is like Rudy Giuliani getting together 115 dump trucks to clean up the debris at the World Trade Center overnight. It would normally take a month to arrange one dump truck. He had 115. Here you have over 100 Broadway stars. It's going to take, you know, be a nightmare just getting them all together. These are people who won't do anything unless they're paid for it. And within 4 days, they had a completely elaborately produced video out with them singing, Maria. This means they knew in advance, they were contracted in advance, they wanted to do it because, number one, they were told no one would be harmed. Number two, that it would promote the gay and lesbian community. Number three, it would be used to promote gun control. And number four, it would benefit Hillary Clinton and her campaign.
Well, if they thought it was going to help anybody's campaign, that didn't work either. So it's getting to the point where I guess the only thing left to them is going to be Project Bluebeam with an alien invasion to try to get our attentions. One of the other things, Jim, I wanted to talk to you about. You still there? Okay, when you get quiet, I get worried. That boy, that other young man that they caught, who was also from Indiana, with the carload of weapons heading towards a gay pride parade, who then supposedly said he was working for the CIA, he was working supposedly in league with Mateen, and that he feared for his life. Now, he was lucky, he was white, so they didn't charge him as a terrorist. Do
Well, I'm
you?
looking at his photograph now in his car, which was loaded with weapons, ammo, explosives. His name, James Wesley Howell. As you remark, he claimed that he had been trained with Mateen by the CIA to perform these ops, that they were both, hitting gay events. He was going to L.A., but he turned himself in to the Santa Monica police when he realized that since Mateen had been set up as Apache and killed, according to the reports, he had heard the same was going to happen to him. It turns out there's a tie between him and an outfit called Universal Protection Services, where a fellow named Rob Ryan, President, Southeast Division, Universal Protection Services, has worked with G4S and Wackenhut, which does a whole lot of business for the government, including, mercenary operations. So it looks like there's an elaborate tie here between this second gay gunman after gays, and Wackenhut and G4S through Universal Protection Services.
And what did you say that guy's name was? Hal or Howell?
Howell.
Oh, that's
His
what I
name is
thought.
James Wesley Howell. And you know how when they want to frame someone, they typically give them three names. I don't know. I haven't heard with Mateen what is supposed to be his middle name, but it's surprising they didn't trot it out.
Right. Well, maybe we'll have to wait for that since the story keeps on changing,
You know,
and
Maria, I think this thing has a strong potential for backfiring for the reason that many gays, based upon what they believe happened in Orlando, are recognizing that it's important for them to be able to shoot back. Here we have the father of one of the purported victims saying, if only one of the intended victims in that large crowd had been armed, many lives could have been saved. Here you got another article, Orlando victims died because they were unarmed, not because they were gay. So you have a movement going on, especially in Southern California, of taking this old flag, the Gadsden flag with a state that says, don't tread on me. They put a gay background on it, multicolor, and they changed the slogan to hashtag shoot back. But that and the fact that he's supposed to be Muslim is going to strongly reinforce Donald Trump's position, especially when you combine it with the Brexit vote, where the people of the United Kingdom are sick of being told what to do by the EU with its headquarters in Belgium, especially regarding its borders, especially regarding the immigration of all these Muslims. I think that reinforces the understanding that we need to have secure borders, that Barack Obama hasn't been providing them, and that he's been underplaying every aspect of the Muslim threat, including not even being willing to use the phrase radical Muslim extremist or radical Islamic extremist. Just before I came down to do the show, Maria, there was a story on the air that Obama has directed that there be special sensitivity training sessions for the FBI and DHS so that they treat Muslims with the proper accord, the proper respect. But it's fundamental to these Islamic countries and the tenets of the Quran, as I understand it. And I've been looking into it recently because of differences with my friend Kevin Barrett, who is a convert to Islam. And in many of these countries, I mean, the penalty for homosexuality is death. In many of these countries, anyone who commits adultery can be stoned. And in these countries, women are subordinate to men. Hillary has taken over $100 million from these countries, Maria. I don't understand how she can claim to be a champion of women's rights and take all this money from Muslim countries where women are subordinated to men. We even had a recent case where right in the United States, where this husband was so upset that his wife was working that he told her not to go to work. She got dressed and left to go to work, and he shot her dead. And then we told the neighbors not to come anywhere near the body or they'd get the same treatment. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, but you don't have to be Muslim to be crazy. I'm sure you saw that story of that beautiful blonde woman who just shot her beautiful blonde daughters because she, I guess it was a birthday party for her husband, and she was a mental case, and she was very pro-gun. And she ended up chasing her daughters in the street and shooting them dead. I mean, what the hell is happening here? Is everybody too drugged out? Is it too much fluoride in the water? Is it the God knows what they're spraying on everybody every day?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, that case is, of course, very troubling. But here you have, you know, they're pushing this no-fly, no-buy story. But there's no way to get off a no-fly list if you're put on. Even Ted Kennedy, the senator, the brother of JFK and RFK, was on a no-fly list, couldn't get himself off. I mean, there's
so
no
was,
new process.
Right, so was Al Gore. So was Al Gore on the no-fly list. So
how can Hillary say, you know, how can Hillary, and she also said yesterday, if the FBI is watching you, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. Well, the FBI is watching all of us, Maria. It's absurd.
Well, the FBI is watching her, and she's running for president.
I know.
This is crazy.
I found this wonderful summation of Obama's attitude. Let me be clear. All Muslims are not to blame and should not be punished for Islamic terrorism, but all gun owners are responsible for every mass shooting, and their rights should be restricted. And it captures Obama's attitude so perfectly.
Right.
And yet, Maria, as I've reported before, we've had a steady drop in deaths from gun violence and in injuries from gun violence, which have dropped over 50% in the case of deaths in the 20 years from 1993 to 2014. And by 75% in the case of injuries from gun violence. And here's a new report. Mass shooting myth. U.S. homicide rate hits 51-year low as gun ownership increases 141%.
Well, yeah, and you saw the gun ownership go through the roof and the price of guns once again go through the roof after the Orlando shooting. Jim, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back. Stay with us. We've got...
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Maria's in it just like you are. Often imitated but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Welcome back to Born in the 1940s. We might as well have been born in another world. We remember with myself and Jim Fetzer. Jim, you're one of the most reasonable men that I can ever talk to about abortion and abortion laws. This week, finally, the Supreme Court has ruled against Texas's ridiculous clinic laws, which now is making states like Mississippi and Alabama back down on their cases. As usual, it's the same three criminals that voted against it. But what did you think of their ruling?
Well, it was obviously very appropriate. I mean, there's no medical benefit from having to have admitting privileges in hospitals. The whole idea was clearly intended to restrict a woman's access to abortion, which is a legal right she has under the law. Since Roe v. Wade, it's been perfectly legal to have abortions. It's ridiculous, therefore, when the pro-life crowd talks about abortion as murder. To me, murder is the wrongful killing of a person that is illegal. But even if you assume the developing fetus was a person, which I believe does not, in fact, take place until the end of the second trimester, it would only be a murder if, for example, in the third trimester, it were done for reasons other than to save the life or health of the mother, which are clear exceptions specified by the law. So these people arbitrarily move personhood to conception, which is simply ludicrous. I mean, what we're talking about is a graduated theory of rights, where as you get older, you have more and more opportunities or rights to exercise, such as you reach a certain age, you can drive, a certain age, you can drink. Just because you can drive or drink at 18 or 21 doesn't mean that kids who are 7 or 8 should be able to drive or drink. And the fact is that the developing fetus only appears entitled to personhood at the end of the second trimester, when it could survive as an entity independent of the uterus, the intrauterine environment. And this has to do with the development of the lungs, it turns out, Maria. And therefore, it seems to me that's by far the most reasonable criterion. It also is the stage at which your pain system clicks in. So it's a very desirable point to draw the line. But none of these abortions, unless they're in the third trimester and not for the reason of preserving the life or the health of the mother, qualifies as murder. So the pro-life movement just gets away with murder by using the slogan abortion is murder when it has no justification.
Right. Well, to me, you know, my opinion on religion is the same for all of them, okay? All created by man to emulate the God of their choice. But I look at a lot of these pro-lifers, and to me, they're like Christian terrorists, you know, beating up gay people, not wanting to make, you know, wedding cakes, blowing up abortions, killing abortion doctors. Why are they not singled out? You know, most serial killers, mass shootings in this country have happened through white male Christian men. Why are they not designated domestic terrorists? Why are they always crazy, but if you're the wrong color, you're a terrorist?
Those are completely appropriate points, Maria, completely right on the mark. And it all has to do with politics and the, you know, who has access and control of the media. I mean, another illustration is that we now know the media have dropped all pretense of objectivity in covering Donald Trump. Robert Scheer has a brilliant article published on 23 June, Maria, where he's reporting that the mainstream media, led by the New York Times, have dropped any pretense of objectivity. He's consistently depicted as nothing but pure evil in thought and in deed, where the considerable ethical complications of his leading Democratic opponent are rationalized when they're not simply ignored. I mean, Hillary is a monster. We even have, here's a perfect illustration. A former Secret Service agent of the Clinton White House, Gary J. Byrne, has come forward to decry a potential Hillary Clinton presidency as dangerous and detrimental proposition. He talks about the Clinton White House having cocaine flowing, constant mistresses, unbelievable den of iniquity taking place, yet the mainstream media remains utterly silent about it. You're not going to hear about this unless you look for it. It's not going to be reported on ABC, NBC, CNN, what have you. It's really outrageous and despicable.
Right. Well, you know what? Yesterday I was sitting on the bicycle at the gym watching MSNBC, and they were interviewing a woman who was supposedly either a Trump supporter or she worked for Trump. And the interviewer said, well, what did you think about, you know, what did you think about Trump calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas? Can you at least agree that that was insulting? And the woman actually said, "Well, I'm part Native American," and maybe he meant it as a compliment. At that point, I just burst out laughing. The woman sitting next to me wanted to know why I was laughing. So I told her why I was laughing, because mainstream media is laughable, okay? I don't know how anybody can even sit there, watch it, and then even believe it is even crazier. This has been the biggest freak show election I have ever seen.
Well, the fact is, Hillary has such a history of criminality, drug dealing dating from Mena, Arkansas. There's a string of bodies related to the Clintons. That,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are at least 50 different deaths that appear to be linked to the Clintons' illicit activities, up to and including Vince Foster among them. The way the suppression of all of the evidence, even including about Benghazi, is simply ridiculous. She has just lied her way through Congress, and nobody's calling her on it, except now, of course, this is the first big lie in a series of 10 big lies coming from the Trump campaign about Hillary on Benghazi. And there's going to be a whole lot more.
Well, they just closed the case. She's scot-free on Benghazi now. And as usual, the guys at the bottom of the pile are the ones that are going to take the fall for it. So,
Here's a good one. She may not get away with it. Turns out that Hillary received a secret memo about the Obama administration's support for ISIS. And it seems to me, of course, it's completely correct that ISIS was made in the USA. I have published about it. I've lectured about it. I was even featured at the Left Forum recently, Maria. When Wayne Manson couldn't make it, they invited me to take his place. And I spoke about the proof. We know that ISIS was made in the USA, how the Iraqi army had shot down two UK cargo planes delivering supplies to ISIS, the Iraqi Popular Forces had shot down an American helicopter, that we had photographs of members of ISIS sporting US Army tattoos, that the files of an aide to Senator John McCain had been hacked, and they show the videotaping of the fake beheading propaganda pieces on a soundstage in Israel, Tel Aviv, or even Hollywood. Judicial Watch was even able to obtain the documents from the Defense Intelligence Agency that created ISIS to put pressure on Assad and to pave the way for the expansion of Israel to become the greater Israel of Zionist aspirations, controlling the Middle East from the Tigris, Euphrates to the Nile. Indeed, the deeper story behind 9/11 is that Bibi Netanyahu wanted a way to get the United States military to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region, and used 9/11 as the mechanism. The American people didn't even realize their foreign policy was being transformed from one in which we at least officially never attacked any nation that had not attacked us first, to one in which we became an aggressor nation following out a plan Wesley Clark would eventually describe at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco in 2007, of taking out seven governments in the next 5 years, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria and Iran. It hasn't quite played out that way because of Russian intervention, but not for lack of trying. I
Right.
think this ISIS thing could be a major pitfall for Hillary Clinton.
Well, we gotta hope so, because I have to disagree with what a lot of people are saying. I do not think that Bernie voters are just gonna quietly go over and vote for Hillary.
I agree with that. You.
I
I
just
think
don't
Bernie
see it.
voters are going to sit back and look at the situation and realize Hillary represents more of the same, that they're sick of the establishment, that Trump is the anti-establishment figure like a Bernie, and that he and Bernie share more in common in their opposition to these free trade agreements, NAFTA and the TPP, and to the endless wars in the Middle East, and that there are really good reasons for supporting Trump, especially Maria. The report has it that the Democratic platform supports the TPP.
Exactly. I was reading about that this morning. The only one that seems to be standing up against it is Bernie Sanders. Jim, we got about 10 minutes left. You sent me a story that we have to cover, okay? Mostly because I did an entire series on it with Dave McGowan. God, we must have spent 20 months on it. His series was called Wagging the Moon Doggy. And you sent me an article that was in the Beijing Daily Express, where China's space program is saying that there was no evidence of Apollo on the moon, and they want NASA to explain the situation, or then they know for sure it was an elaborate hoax. I think this is a huge story.
Well, actually, I think I checked the dateline, and it's a couple of years old, but it is a huge story, and it just didn't get publicity at the time, which is another way of knowing that our media is completely controlled, because this is one that should have been on the front pages of every paper in the world.
Right, right. I mean, there are people that still want to believe, you know, that we landed on the moon, despite the fact, talk about no evidence, and the evidence we have, it surely seems to me that that never happened. If people understood history, Russia was beating us in the space program. We had to do something. So let's invent the fact that we went to the moon in what looked like, you know, a Jiffy Pop spaceship, you know, with aluminum and duct tape.
Oh, I know, Maria. There are all kinds of reasons for questioning the idea that we went to the moon.
But you realize we've been had since we were little kids. It was just more subliminal, I think, than in your face. Today, everything is overt in your face. But when we were kids, you know, we wanted to believe. And everybody sat around their TV, you know, hey, Houston, you know, the eagle has landed. You know what I'm saying? But when you look at that story and you really take it apart, and the fact that they didn't even have a practice run and they got it all right on the first time, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, Lori, let me run through, just by coincidence, a very good friend of mine who's quite a brilliant guy, Dennis Camino, who was the Navy's top electronics troubleshooter before he left the Navy and went to work for Raytheon, has just for sent me a list of 20 points. I won't give you all, but there's so many.
Okay.
Number one, Van Allen radiation belts would have killed the crew members en route. In fact, we recently had a NASA representative say the greatest obstacle to a manned mission to Mars was a Van Allen radiation belts, not realizing he had implied thereby that we'd never gone to the moon, since the Van Allen radiation belts are a permanent fixture. Inadequate size of the rocket per von Braun, Werner von Braun's own observation, the rocket would have been like three times the size of the Empire State Building.
Right.
But not one set of schematics in the NASA archives exists for any of the spacecraft systems, especially the power systems, which of course is because they were faking it. Multiple light sources create shadows that intersect in photographs allegedly taken on the surface of the moon, which of course is impossible since there would be only one source of light, namely the sun. But what happened was that they had lights that were illuminating the set that created these inconsistent shadow patterns. During the limb descent, no rocket is firing because the noise is absent and the thrust engine is bolted to the limb, meaning the vibration and noise problems would have been tremendous. And yet they're not recorded. Inadequate life support in the suits. No sign the suits were inflated at all, which would have shown sufficient, not shown, would have had to be rigid in the vacuum of space. They would have had to be inflated to protect the occupants. The cameras, articles behind the object is an impossibility because, in other words, they're in equally in focus, in distance and up close, which reflects the use of what's known as front screen projection. All kinds of indications of foolery with regard to spacewalks using aerial cables that are even visible in order to simulate them. Some are actually captured in footage that has made it into the public domain. I mean, it goes on and on, Maria. This whole thing is such a sham.
I know, but this is the thing, is that we've had the wool pull over our eyes for so many different agendas forever in this country. And yet you still have people that don't want to know, that still want to believe the official stories. Believe me, I have a friend of 20 years. We've never had an argument until I started discussing the moon landing with him. And he got really upset with me. And I said, you know what? We've been friends for 20 years. If you want to believe we went to the moon, it's not worth blowing our friendship over something like that. So some people really get, you know, very patriotically psychotic and want to believe.
Well, if anyone wants to get into it, actually, the first book I published as a moon rock book is entitled, And I Suppose We Didn't Go to the Moon Either. It was actually supposed to be the second in the sequence following Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, to which a response might well have been, And I Suppose We Didn't Go to the Moon Either. And, of course, nobody died at Sandy Hook, and we didn't go to the moon either. But if you want documentation, go to moonrockbooks.org and .com and check it out, because there's fantastic stuff there.
Right. Well, I totally agree, and it's like your book on Sandy Hook. People will argue, but I say read the book first. Read the book, look at the pictures, and then make up your mind. You know, look how many people still want to believe the official story of 9/11 because they don't want to believe their own government would kill their own people. Okay. How much in history do we need to see about our government killing its own people?
I know. It's just absolutely god-awful.
Well, and speaking of killing its own people, I don't know if you noticed, but this past Monday, they started spraying over New York City against the Zika virus.
Oh, no.
Exactly. And they were starting in Brooklyn, and I posted it, and I said, heads up, everybody better stay inside. Who knows what they're spraying on you?
I know. Who knows what they're spraying? It's like the chemtrails. I mean, now it appears that the chemtrails are a combination of aluminum particles, barium, and strontium, and that they can heat up the aluminum particles and create high pressure areas so they can control the weather by driving away low pressure areas that would be rain. This appears to be what has created the artificial drought in Southern California, which may be a part of the Kissinger plan to deprive the American people of food, so they'll willingly go into FEMA camps in order to be fed. But our life is going to be solitary, short, and brutal in those camps, Maria. I mean, the idea that a Henry Kissinger, responsible for, you know, the death of millions and millions, it should be, you know, leading the way here with regard to the FEMA camps is simply appalling. In fact, all those camps ought to be destroyed. Homeland Security ought to be dismantled. We ought to get rid of 40 caliber hollow point as ammunition that is being used by the American military, because it cannot be used abroad. It's other than in violation of the constraints, international agreements that prohibit the use of ammunition that will kill and maim. I mean, it's all outrageous where we have fallen into a sewer.
Well, I can't argue that with you because, you know, when I meet young people, I tell them this isn't the country I grew up in, you know, and I don't think that they even, you know, a lot of them don't see it coming. I have noticed, you know, the economic distress of pretty much everybody I know. And of course, you know, with this Brexit, England, of course, is going to suffer probably before they get better. But I also saw that Brexit as one big blow to the one world order. Did you see it that way?
Oh, yes, absolutely, because the corporations, the whole idea of creating a European Union and after a North American Union, where there's a common currency, is to avoid the complications of having to do exchanges from one currency to another, no matter how ancient the practice of using that currency in that country, and to destroy their ability to maintain their borders. Because once you enter the European Union, you can travel to any of the countries that are combined therein without having any special access, no need for special permission. So these immigrants are able to go all over the EU and they're committing many savage crimes. I mean, it's frankly shocking to me how much is going on there.
Well, we live in, was it Confucius that said, may you live in interesting times?
Well, our times may be a little too interesting. Let me add at least one further point about the current controversy over Donald Trump.
Sure.
In 1996, Bill Clinton said about immigration 20 years ago, Tonight, I announce I will sign an executive order to deny federal contracts to businesses that hire illegal immigrants. He made a big to-do of it 20 years ago. So if it was okay for him to make those points then, why isn't it okay for Donald Trump to make them today?
Well, that's always a good question. Good question, Jim. Anyway, I got to tell you, we're out of time, but we didn't even get to the tip of the iceberg of all the stuff you sent me. So everybody check out Jim's work, check out his blog, get over to YouTube especially. You can just sign up right there for Jim's real deal. For some reason, I always say raw deal. Maybe you should change the name of the show, Jim. But
actually,
thank you.
That's the name of my show on Rents Radio Tuesday and Thursday. It's The Raw Deal.
Oh, okay.
Real Maybe. Deal Monday, Wednesday, Friday video. But
oh, okay. Well, let's hope we don't have to.
We've been hit so bad. My producer has had his internet cable cut 3 times, Maria. Oh. Just look for the Real Deal shows online. We're still getting them out.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Jim. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it.
Bye. Well, there you have it. Born in the 1940s, if somebody would have told us this would be America in 2016, there's no way we would have believed that. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information, all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.